His blood can cleanse the foulest and make them clean. Who are we really singing about? Who is this foulest that can be clean? We're talking about the foulest here. Who is that? That is me. That's me. How do I know? Because he's made this foulest clean. 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 God knows it. The angels know it. We're not too sure. And the devil hates it. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed. Past. A work that's done. Availed for me. Oh, what a precious opportunity for a declaration. This song is a declaration. It's a declaration to the unseen world. It's a declaration to our own soul. It's a declaration to those that are around us that his blood can cleanse the foulest and make them clean, and that it has availed for me. Has once and again and again and again. If it needs to, again it will. It does avail. Praise God it does. His blood can make the foulest clean. Oh, let's hear a declaration tonight. A declaration in our soul and our spirit that he and his blood, his work, his cross availed for me. The Lord has peculiar things and different things he does everywhere in the world and with all his people. In the 43rd chapter of this wonderful book, beginning in the 21st verse, God speaking in the wilderness, he would give drink to his people, his chosen people. But although there wasn't much reality, although the waters, the true waters, would be very scarce, the Lord said that he would cause there to be rivers in the wilderness. And that will be the case for God's people everywhere in the world that are genuinely and truly seeking after God. He will do this. But in part of the Lord's purposes, verse 21, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. This verse, for quite some time now, has been a theme that the Lord has been dealing with me on, that he does have a people who he has called, who he has chosen. Difference, one thing and another. For the calling is a work of the Spirit in its beginnings. The choosing is a work of the Spirit somewhere down the line. And it is actually a work of the Spirit, both the calling and the choosing. We don't become self-called, neither self-appointed nor self-elected. That is a work of God. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. But the Lord is saying, this people have I chosen for myself. This is a very strange word, because you would think that anyone that was to be saved was to be separated and called unto the Lord himself. Yet we know that there were the apostles of the Lamb. We know that those that he called to be around him, those called and drawn to be around the Lord himself. There were those who the Lord had called upon to minister unto him. Now, he had many. You will remember that the Lord had the inner group of those that were around him. Of the 12, he seemed to have a few of those 12, three, sometimes four, that he would call apart for certain things that others weren't called in on. You will remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, it wasn't all 12 disciples that were there. It was a moment when he had decided to take some with him and not others. The Lord makes choices like that. It's not unusual to find that the Lord separates a group of people that are his followers and does something with one group and something else with another. If that surprises you, well, don't let it surprise you, because that's not the ending of the shocks. That's just the beginning. Not only did he separate the 3 and sometimes the 4 from the 12, he separated the 12 from the 70. And as much as people would think that everybody forsook him and everybody left him, there were still 120 in the upper room at Pentecost. They came from somewhere. And the Lord had the multitude. And so God, Jesus was always surrounded by the multitude that was around him. And he had a group of people sometimes you couldn't even number into the thousands that were there. But in that group of people, he had 70 that were his constant servants that were going out and coming, many who had gifts that he had given them to perform things within the realm of ministry. And then there were the 12. And within the 12, there was those that were near and dear to him, and those who were workhorses, and those who were just there. And the Lord had a specific purpose for each and every one of them. Every one of them was dear to him, but they were dear to him in each of their categories. God didn't just want one big mush out of all. He didn't just want to beat it together like dough and make one big thing out of it. The Lord is very specific with his work in each and every one. You read each of the Gospels, and they bring such different slant on things. The Lord, although he changed the bad parts of their personality, he always left the individual's personality. God worked with them, and he did things with them. Now, I can truly imagine that when Jesus called the 3 apart to take him up there, there must have been quite some commotion back at the camp. There must have been a lot of jabbering and talking while they were up there, and I'm sure there was a lot of misfits down there that were just, you know, out of their skin content that, and just as happy as can be that the Lord should have done something like this. And I'm sure that they rehearsed again and again that God chooses the basest things of the world, but by then Paul hadn't written it, you know, so they were up the creek. But I am sure that it wasn't an atmosphere that was very pleasurable back here with the others. And the thing that makes me think that is that after they had all their pride discussions down here and ate one another up and discussed and talked and used their tongues for the wrong things, then they tried to be spiritual and go out there and do a good work, and there's this poor guy that needed to be delivered, and he just stayed that way. Not delivered, just bound. They couldn't do anything with him until Jesus comes down off the mountain, Transfiguration, and then that was the end of that thing, wasn't it? I had just gone that quick. And now they wanted to come and know why they couldn't do it. See, they still had their stuffiness. They still had a problem. They had what I'd call an attitude problem. Now, I know not anybody in this building knows what I'm getting at, but I do. Now, there might be 6 or 7 of you that don't. You see, Jesus did these things, and the reason he did is because he had a purpose for each and every one of these people that he placed and did what he desired with. Now, not only did he do this, but God has a people. Now I'm going to get away from the individual just a moment. God has a people who is called for himself and to himself. There is a difference of calling people to himself and for himself. There are those that have that God has called to minister unto him. Their whole purpose in life is to minister to the Lord. The other people, God calls them to minister for him. And we referred to that the other day. Now I'm going to take a quick look here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus had seen Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting their nets into the sea. They're fishermen. And Jesus said unto these fishermen, just appeared there one day, and said, "Men, follow me." How about that? Men, follow me. You know, I don't know what got a hold of these people, but it says that straightway they left their nets and followed him. That quick. They just let everything down and then just went to follow him. It's amazing. But this is what he said to them. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, what was his purpose in having them follow him? If any man, John 12, follow, if any man serve me, will serve me, let him, what was that? Follow me, and let my servant be where I am. Those are the two things. Now you know where we're coming from. We're tying back there to Sunday. If any man will serve me. Now, this is the point with them in case. He went to them and said, now follow me. If any man will serve me, let them follow me. And he said, and I will make you people who will be able to fish people rather than little fish. He said, I will make you that. You're only fishermen of fish. I will make you fishermen of men. You see, the purpose that God had in calling Peter was to make him a fisher of men. That wasn't his purpose with John. That was his purpose with Peter, Andrew. God has a specific purpose for every individual. But part of their calling necessitated them following him and being with him where he was. And he said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. Now, that might have been what they really wanted. Because if not, you don't just drop everything. At least he told them what they were going for. What the end result would be. Why they should follow him. I mean, wouldn't that have been your question? Why should I? Why should I just drop everything and go? I suppose we'd have some questions. It doesn't record that they had any at all. They just dropped everything and straightway left their nets and everything and followed him. But that was his purpose with them. In chapter 8, there is somebody that was delaying a little bit, or trying to. Another one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. How's that? Jesus said, oh, fine, you know, take care of the things you got to take care of whenever it's comfortable and whenever you can manage it. Just, you know, you'll find us here somewhere. We're somewhere around. Just, you know, help yourself. Whenever, after all, this is God Almighty, the creator of the ground you're walking on. Just no problem. Just whenever you get around to it and would like to follow me, you just have your time. Isn't this what we tell all our young people and everybody that we just want to gain little by little and sort of hide the real truth and bring it around and sort of deceive them into coming in and give them all the time they need to think it through and think it over. You don't just hit them with a thing. It's either yes or no. I mean, how could you ever be fishermen if you just told people outright that they had to drop the whole life they had and start a new one? On the contrary, you just tell them, hey, you know, you can live for God and you still do the things of the world. You'll change little by little. This is real. No. Now, Jesus said, look, let the dead bury the dead. You want to continue in your state of death? You continue on with your works of death. He said, but if you want to follow me, you better just leave everything just like it is, unattended. Now, I don't think he was very nice. That's not very polite. This man had just lost his father. I mean, certainly Jesus would have had natural compassion and said, oh, sorry about that. You know, he could have even done something about it. He could have said, look, you're going to be one of the ones that follow me, and you're very dear to me. I'm going to do you a favor. I mean, let's just raise your dad. But Jesus didn't go around doing what he thought. He didn't go around doing things by human compassion. If the father wanted him dead, he left him dead. That's simple, isn't it? And if the father wanted him alive and they died on him, he brought him up from the dead. And if people died and father wanted him to wait, he waited and left them dead several days, then went and raised them up. He did what the father wanted him to do. And here when he began to speak to this man, he knew that within the heart of man, he was oscillating. There was a choice. There was something drawing him back to all the things of his life. And Jesus said, no, drop everything. Let the dead bury the dead. You, I want you to come and follow me. Why would have Jesus said something so harsh to him? Because he knew his heart. He knew what was in there. He knew that the things would draw him back. He knew that he had a mind to look forward, put his hand to the plow, and then look back. And Jesus said those kind of people weren't worthy of the kingdom. They weren't worthy to come to the kingdom. You can't just put your hand up loud, look ahead, and then turn around and say, oh my, look what I'm missing. Let's do something. Lord, would you allow me to just live my life to its fullest, do everything I want to do, and then let me follow you. You know, I'll hang on to my calling. I'll do it justice someday. Just wait for me. I'll be around. You know, I'm going to take 3 years just to do everything I want to do, and then I'm going to go looking for you. But 3 years he wasn't around. He was gone. Everything he ever did, he did in those 3 years, and then he was gone. So many of us have a way when God begins to draw and when God begins to call, of putting that call off. But the Lord said, this people have I called. These people have I chosen. These people have I separated. These people have I had a purpose in my heart to draw together and bring together unto myself. These people will be for me. I'll make this person a fisherman. I'll make these people something else. I'll draw and call these people for something else. But this people have I called. This people have I chosen, have I desired to bring them in for myself. Now what would that really mean? To minister unto the Lord. There was those that ministered to all. I remember a beautiful series. Someday I might ask Dad to give you a series that he once gave so beautiful in Ezekiel. On those that minister before the Lord, those that minister to the gate, those that minister in the house, and those that minister to the people. And those that were given to minister to the people could not minister unto the Lord. The Lord forbade them to. And he put a wall of separation there. And you'd say, well, why not? You see, the Lord calls certain individuals. And in order to minister to the Lord, it takes a certain preparation of heart and life. And it had to be necessary. It necessitated a certain work of the Spirit in their life to prepare them for what they're doing. You don't go to an electronics school to study to be a brain surgeon. It's just a totally different preparation. It's just a totally different school. It's just a totally different thing. It's not that you don't have a higher education. It's not that you didn't study hard. It's not that you didn't go 7-8 years. It's not that you didn't put the best of it. It's not that you don't qualify amongst the professionals. It's that you did the wrong career, if that's what you want. God puts His own in family. He separates people for a specific purpose, gives them a vision, puts before them where He wants them to go, and then gives them everything they need to prepare for what He had them to do, and graces them with the gifts and gives them the grace to be able to come into the things, and He gives them the light and the understanding, and He gives them the anointings, and He gives them the power that they need to come into what He called them to come into. But first there's the calling of the Lord. There's the choosing. He separates people. I don't know why. I don't know what He sees in different individuals when He calls them and brings them unto Him. I don't know why He had one person that did nothing but just minister to Him, lay on His shoulder all day long, tell Him that He loved Him. And he looked like a fool all his life, and he's the one that outlived all the rest and was never murdered. And the last book he ever wrote, believe it or not, was the Gospel. Ripe old age. Outlived probably most of us. All he was is someone that walked around loving Jesus. That's all. What a man. It's no wonder that in his epistles he'd stand up and say to the people that were there, sometimes without probably enough energy to be able to get it out, whatever you do, love the Lord. They that don't love their brothers cannot love God. You cannot say you love someone you don't see when you don't love someone you see. He was the apostle of love. He was perfected in love. Christ called someone who was drawn unto Him to be perfected in love. He brought others that would be perfected in faith. He brought others that were perfected in works. He brought others that were perfected in power. God had it all. And He calls the people, He draws the people to Him that they might be what He wants them to be and not what they're out there trying to make of themselves. Now this people, He is called, He is drawn, He is chosen, He is brought from different places of the world unto Himself. What would the Lord then want? What would be the purpose of the Lord? Well, I think that's easy to determine. To serve the Lord. Not serve for the Lord. Serve the Lord. He has an awful lot of people serving for Him. He has a lot of people that are His body, His flesh, His feet, His hands, His mouth, His eyes, His ears, all over the world. Doesn't He? All right, you don't look too convinced. In chapter 8, now verse 34. And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will now come after Me. Now, are these not the ones that He challenged to come and follow Him? That was within the multitude, those the disciples that were there. He said, now there is one thing needful. If you are going to follow Me, if you are going to come after Me. Now look at this. What are you coming after? What were they coming after? If you're coming after ministry, this doesn't apply. If you're coming after salvation, that doesn't apply either. Although I've heard it applied. But it doesn't apply it to that. If you are coming after Him, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might be in His temple, that I might inquire of the Lord, that I may behold the beauty of His glory. One thing. If it is your desire to follow after Him, if what you're after is Him, I guess it's the best way I could put it. There's one thing that's very needful. Let Him deny Himself. You can't love two people, yourself and someone else. Deny yourself. You cannot give yourself entirely to someone when you're given to yourself. The two things that are needful if you're going to come after Him are to deny yourself and to take up a cross. Follow Him. Three. I have three little numbers here. I don't know why I ever put them there. Look at. So simple, so clear. This people have I called unto Myself. If any man will come after Me, it is needful that he deny himself, that he follow Me, that he take up a cross. Now, these don't apply to a lot of people. If you want to be saved, that doesn't apply. You don't need to pick up a cross to be saved. You need to believe. If you want to be converted, you need to be turned around. You don't need to be following somebody, picking up your cross and denying yourself. If you want to be baptized in water, you don't have to deny yourself the rest of your life. Just go somewhere and have them put you under water. In the name of the Father, the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Be baptized. Bury the past life. That's not taking up a cross, that's coming down off of one and being buried after it. Well, it doesn't apply, does it? Did I lose you? If you want to be healed, you don't pick up a cross. You thank God for the one He died on and that you were healed by. Isn't that true? So a lot of you are off the hook already. If any man will follow after Me, if the calling that the Lord has given, that the calling, the drawings of the Holy Spirit in your own heart are after Him, if you are following hard after Him, if your heart is in search for Him, not anything He has. One person said unto me that anything God has is undetachable from Him. They're wrong. You can detach a lot of things from yourself. I can give you my car and you can drive it. Can't drive my hand. You can't drive my eye. My brain does that.
There's certain things you can't take away. There's others that you can take away. The gifts I can detach from me and give you. Any gift. I can't give you my hand, but I can give you a lot of things. I can give you a gift of healing. I can give you a gift of power. I can give you all kinds of gifts. And I can leave you to it and never see you again. I hope you use it right. It's up to you. I'll come back and I'll make you responsible for what you've done with your gift. Whether you've used it, whether you've multiplied it, or just stashed it away and forgot it. Whether you've used it for yourself, to enrich yourself, or enrich others, or if you used it for my purposes, there'll be rewards for one and there'll be condemnation or damnation for the other. But we're not talking about him detaching his gifts and giving them to us. We are talking about those that follow after him. Those that have him for their goal. Those that have the Lord. It's almost like along the way he says, well, I'll give you salvation. Well, that's fine, thank you. That's very nice of you, but I want you. Is it a nice, beautiful, pretty girl? Well, you know, can we go out? No, you can have my dad's car. He'll give you the Mercedes-Benz. Well, I don't want the Mercedes-Benz. I want you. No. Here, have a Mercedes-Benz. I'll just give you the Mercedes-Benz. Oh, I'll take it. Thank you very much. Next day, here he is, parked on the front door step with his Mercedes-Benz. What do you want now? I want you. Well, look, we have a few houses around. Pick one. I'll give you that. Well, fine. I'll take that, too. But still, if you don't mind, what I'd like is you. And after she gave him all kinds of things, she said, well, now, if you want me, you're going to have to give all that back. I guess that will go to prove just how much you love that or her or him. Love has no price. Oh, look, what I was really after is you. Here's your Mercedes-Benz, here's the house, there's the title deed, sign it right now. What I really wanted is you. Now, that's a little bit. I've done that just so in your mind's eye you can imagine how the Lord works with us. He'll give you all kinds of ways. You say, well, he wouldn't deter you. No, he has a calling. His drawings, the Spirit draws you and brings you into what he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. And God has called this body into existence. He's called this church into existence for a purpose, and he's drawn it unto himself. Therefore, these three apply. The following after him will apply. The taking up the cross will apply. It's impossible to walk with him without walking in his death. It's impossible to participate with him without participating in his suffering. It's impossible to participate in his love without participating in his death, without participating in his burial, without participating in his glory. To follow the glory that you've given me, I have given them. Oh, what a marvelous thing. What a marvelous thing. For when it's through, not only everything he has is yours, but you don't want what he has. You want who he is. You want him. Give me Jesus or I die. Just like David Brainerd said, give me the Indians or I die. He died. God gave him the Indians. Wonderful revival. Wonderful moving and stirring among those absolute heathens. They didn't know from the real God from the sun and the sky. God moved upon their hearts. Wonderful thing. Such a beautiful thing. Missionaries once preaching amongst the Indians. He was in this tribe and he began to preach about Jesus. He began to tell them about Jesus. And the Indian chief came up about one third into the message and he said, well, if this Jesus did that for us, then this chief will give him the tomahawk. If he left glory and he come down here to do nice things, he said, I do nice thing for King Jesus, he can have my tomahawk. Next thing you know, he was talking about a Jesus that vested himself and did away with a crown that was given him of authority and power and laid it down and took upon himself the humility of a human body being God to walk down here with us, to know what we're really going through, to feel it out with us. Next thing you know, the chief is up there. He took off this tremendous plumage that was around him that made him the chief. He said, Sir, he said, I lay down chiefhood. I put down my scepter that kings would use as a normal scepter. They use this as their crown. See, I no more chief. As the message went on, he spoke of Jesus when he died on the cross and gave everything and absolutely did away and had to die and be buried. Because he loved us, he wanted to do away with our sin. Weeping by now, the chief of this tribe came up. He knelt down and said, Sir, chief, give himself. If Jesus gave himself. Now these are heathens. Who was he giving himself for? No one asked him for anything. But it started progressively. First one little thing, then another, then another, then another, until it took up everything, until it took up himself. Deny yourself. There has to come that time. You cannot have one thing without the other. We so many times have been the beneficiaries, if that's the way I can call it. So many times we've stood before the presence of God and the glory of the Lord touches down. You wonder why he cannot dwell. I still have that series on the dwellings of God that I've never felt to go back to yet. But there's a portion there where you see that the nearer we dwell and the more constantly we dwell with God, the higher the demands and the more that God has to work into us and that has to be done in order for us to stand God and for in order to God stand us. But there is a people who will stand before him. Don't think of heaven as a place where we're all going to be like in this room. Think of heaven as the city of Atlanta with all the different houses. Each is a different place from the government house on down to the last little shack somewhere. We have to understand heaven as that. We have to understand heaven in stages of glory. We have to understand heaven as a place of higher degrees of glory and lower degrees of glory. You have to think of heaven as a place where Christ dwells. Don't think of heaven as someone that's all the way around Christ. There are those that are called for every specific thing. Think of earth that way. Everybody has their calling. But these three things are necessary for those who have been called. And the Lord has drawn us together for this purpose. He has drawn us together to teach us in the ways of worshiping the Lord. To teach us in the ways of opening the heart to the Lord and speaking face to face to the Lord. To standing before the presence of God and being able to stand God. To be able to cause himself to be known and manifested to us. Even the things that frighten us to death about God. God's going to tell us the truth about himself. He's not going to hide certain aspects about himself. He is a jealous God. Jealousy beyond any jealousy you ever knew on earth. God is a God of fire that we have known. A cleansing fire, a power fire, a delivering fire. God is a God of love. Such love as shall melt the heart. Such love as shall bind it to a tree and kill it. For love is as strong as death. Such freedom. Freedom is of the Holy Spirit that knows no boundaries, that knows no bound. Glory to that presence of God will come and visit and be in the midst of his people. We've come to the stage now where God comes and visits us. God wants to come and dwell. We've been called unto the Lord. The Lord wants to teach us and take us in the ways where we can stand the Lord, where we can know the Lord. The Lord's going to make himself known to those people. The Lord's going to make himself known to the people that he has called to himself. The Lord's going to cause a work to be done in them. You say, well, Lord, why are you so hard on us? Lord, why is it so necessary that we just abandon self and turn against this and begin to walk the life you want? So why are the standards so high? The standard is so high because if I might suggest the calling is high, it's wonderful. Whether it's high or low in degrees of importance, I don't care. In fact, in God, the lower things are the best. They're the highest. If one star difference in glory from another in our natural heavens, how much more? It says the saints will differ in glory as the stars differ in glory. God begins to prepare people to walk with him, to talk with him. Do you have any idea the degree of cleansing, the degree of purification, the degree of sanctification, which is the separation and the cleansing that go together, that it takes to walk before God and to walk with God and to minister to God? Just because you throw up an offering like a heave offering doesn't mean He accepts it. There were times where God, even the things He had asked them to do, He said, I cannot stand them. I turn my backs on your offerings. I will not receive them. They're not offerings acceptable unto the Lord. They're unacceptable. He said, well, anybody can come in through the blood of Jesus, come barreling in boldly to the very throne. But you misread something. He was speaking of the throne of grace, and you can approach that throne of grace that way. But not the throne of glory. Not the person. Not the God. You don't approach it that way. You don't approach God like this. First you're called. Not one person came in to the king without being first summoned. Called. The only person who ever did, because he loved her. When Queen Esther came in, the scepter went out. Had it not, she'd have been killed on the spot. You don't just barge in. What are you doing, fine specimen of humanity? I've come to worship you. What do you think about this? May the king be pleased with the things he hears. Look, the king's going to be pleased, all right. But the next time you find yourself under that heat of God being burned out and cleansed out, it's not because He hates you. It's because He's getting you ready to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. He's getting you ready to be able to stand a little longer His presence among the people and not just come down, touch down like an aircraft and practice again by taking off. And may I suggest that's a very poor example of something so beautiful as the Holy Spirit when He moves in the midst of His people. We have known, we have definitely known glory that seemed like it accelerated you right out of your body into the other world. It was so close to heaven, I don't know what more heaven would be like. But it never lasts, does it? There's a reason. It cannot last. But the purpose of the Lord is to bring us to a place where it can. You know, some people on this earth, you say, well, they lived a whole life of whatever, and then they were saved at the very end, they went up there, but they're not going to stand ministering to the Lord. Maybe in their development they can and will. But that has a lot to do with the Lord's election and the Lord's calling, the Lord's desire over each and every single one of individual. Maybe you're in the wrong place. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that maybe you're here because you want to be, or you try to stick it out? But it doesn't matter how hard you try to stick it out, God's going to make sure that you're upset about one thing or another and you're going to leave. You're in the wrong place. Does God hate you? No. You're not good enough for this? No. You just weren't called to this. Is this better than that? I'll leave that to you. To me, best is what God called me to. And you know, I sit here many times looking at others that God has called and given beautiful things to, and I not only admire it, but I have to watch that I don't envy it. I see these people that God has called and have tremendous honor in this world. Like God said to David, I have given you a name and honor in this world. I look at people that God has called for that. God actually calls people to honor them, to give them a name on earth in all the nations of the world. Like a T.L. Osborne. Like so many I could mention. They're renowned. They're men of that God has given honor to. God doesn't call me to that. Sometimes I think the grass is greener on the other side. You forget. You know what's best for you? What God's called you to. But when God has called you, this is going to demand a lot of self-denial that has to continue going on. You say, well, Lord, you know, why are you so hard on us? Because where He's taking us, it's going to need it. Just like to make fishers of men, they had to abandon being fishers of fish. He said, you have to leave that. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll do something else with you. That was God's purpose with Peter. That's why he could never get along with Paul. That's why Barnabas was separated from them, started from nothing all the way up. They didn't see apostle material in there. Only God did. And all the disputes, all the separation, how hard that is on a church. God wanted that. You ever stop to think of that? Instead of blaming the rest of the apostles, don't blame anybody. Know that that's the way God wanted it. And each were wonderful in what they did. And later on, we're able to recognize that one another and actually did work together a bit. That's pretty good. He's always up here looking up at me. Once in a while, I have to look at him too. A people that I've called for myself. Once again, the theme, once again, the purpose of a people who God has called. What did he call me to? He called you to go evangelize Africa. He's got people that are doing that. Do you know what the Lord asked of his Lord? That is Jesus Christ of the Father. That he would give them the nations for an inheritance, and that he should give them the saints for an inheritance, and that he should give them his enemies as his was due. And God said, I will, but you'll have to wait. How's that? He has others he's working through on the world. Don't worry about the world. Anytime you criticize those that don't look out too much, remember that Jesus didn't even bother with it either, did he? When he prayed to the Father, what did he say to the Father? Father, he said, I don't pray for the world. I'll leave that one to you. Now here's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He said, I'll leave that to you, but I pray for those that you have given me. He was faithful with that which God had given him. And in the midst of that group, he had a John. Very gifted. Very beloved. What was his purpose? To minister to him. Nobody else had to. Nobody else was called to. Nobody else was expected of to do that. But Jesus had a John. Jesus had a John. And in order to be a John, it takes self-denial. It takes continuing to follow. You don't get upset. You don't get bitter. You continue to follow. And take up your cross once in a long while, like once every 10 years, like maybe once every 100 years, or maybe every day. Which of the above? Have you ever asked the Lord why he's so hard on you? Why we have to go through things that when you talk to other people, they don't even know what you're talking about. And think that they could never belong to something like that. And you've been offended by it. Come on, have you? Has anybody? Well, don't lay it on them. They may not have to. You know, when I was in Bible school, they told me that this was the way to get saved. I know better now. I know all it takes to get saved is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came, died for your sins, he gave you eternal life, and that's it. Forget it. Then there's a time where that living seed comes and is conceived in your heart, and you become the beginning of a new creation, not the end. Why did I say new creation? Because the first creation is when he molded some flesh together, made your marvelous body, and then breathed into it life and made you a living soul. That was the first creation. Christ was the firstborn of the new creation, which was just the flesh of man, just the outward appearance of the lowliness of man, gifted and invested with the very spirit of God, not just his own spirit, not just the life spirit. Isn't that wonderful? A new creation. What is God doing? He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And he's called each and every one of us to the purposes of the high calling. And Paul said, and he spoke of that high calling in Christ Jesus, to which he left every other thing and counted it but dung to be able to win. And he wasn't talking about ministry because he'd laid it down. He wasn't talking about being an apostle. He'd laid that down. He wasn't talking about any other thing that you and I could reach for the rest of our life. He was talking about one, to win Christ and to be found in Him. Doesn't that amaze you? It amazes me. It never ceases to. But he knew his calling, and he pressed toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And therefore he was buffeted by men, he suffered, he had to take up his cross continuously. You say, poor man, he must have been a reject. No, he wasn't a reject. He was a man who knew that there was the drawings to a high calling in Christ Jesus. And he was willing to go on with the whole thing through life to obtain that. Isn't that marvelous? I like people like that. The oneness of mind and the purpose in heart to be what he wants me to be. I'd like for us to wind this up with a song. For I was born to be a dwelling place for the Spirit of the Lord. That's simple. The song is simple. The message is simple. Dwelling place. A home for the Spirit of the Lord. Do you know that we're saying home? That's a constant abiding place. That's not just a place to visit once in a while like you visit your parents. Or like you'd visit the president, maybe once in a lifetime, maybe never. That's a dwelling place, a home. That we might be at home with God and he might be at home in our heart. The heart that he has cleansed, a heart that he has set free, a heart he has baptized in his love, in his life, in his cleansing flames. Let the Lord once again renew those drawings in your heart and your soul. Let there be once again a renewing of the Spirit, drawing and calling. I know that in the middle of the week, and as we work hard and get out there and give it our best, when it comes evening time, sometimes we just relax and you can feel that relaxing. But it's all it is. Isn't it going to be wonderful when we're in that place without all these limitations, without this body hanging on to us here, this mortality holding us back? And all the soul can soar into the realms of God himself. The depth of God. Oh, the depth of God. Oh, the love of God. Oh, the justice of God. Oh, the mercy of God. Oh, the love of God. Oh, may his Spirit draw you. May he continue to draw us. This people have I called to myself. I'm called to evangelize Africa. If he did, that's what we'd be doing. And knowing me, I'd try to be real good at it. I like to excel in everything we do. Not for a pride trip. We should get better and better at anything we do. There's no sense to just start something and leave it like that. We should work at it. Work out your own salvation. So we work on into the plan of God. Paul said, I press forward. There's a part that he did. He always kept in mind what was the high calling in Christ Jesus, for which he was willing to suffer all things, for which he was willing to be shipwrecked, for which he was willing to be imprisoned, for which he was willing to go through so many times. And yet at the same time, out of that love, he said God's love constrained him. It was just something between him and Christ that was so deep, so binding, that if it was his purpose that he serve so many prison sentences and be beaten so many times to give his word to kings, to another country, to another nation, so be it. But his work never got in the way. He was just as comfortable mending tents as he was doing miracles. That never got in his way. There was one thing that compelled him, that was a driving force, and something that he knew. When he met Christ in Damascus Road, something happened inside. And following those years in the wilderness, in that quest for God, he revealed himself to Paul. So there's something that happened in that heart. Very akin to John. You read one and you read what the other wrote and you'll find how akin they are, how one they were in spirit. Their jobs were different. Different administration, same spirit, same calling. Beautiful. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't feel disgusted and discouraged somebody else. If the price is too high, many left him. Many were called. The chosen ones are the ones that stuck with him all the way. That endured the process along the way. That endured what they had to go through. You want an easier road? Ask God why in the world he wanted something so wonderful for you. Say, Lord, don't desire anything that nice for me, will you? I can't handle it. Then again, there's a much lovelier attitude. Father, I never dreamed that you'd offer something so wonderful as Christ himself, a relationship with Christ, a walk with Christ. And as you walk with him and develop this relationship with him, he'll give you all kinds of things to do. Just because you're a wife, you don't just sit there in a rocking chair until your whole body becomes so stiff in that position they have to carry you away sitting in that position. You say, well, where do I get these examples? I had a great grandmother that did that. Her husband died, and for the next 30 years, she proceeded to never leave her rocking chair. When they buried her, they had to make a special box. She wouldn't fit in a straight one. It's being hard-nosed. I told you there's nothing good in us. You never believe me. No, it's not sitting home just waiting forever. He'll give us things to do. You cannot love God and hate your brother. We cannot be indifferent, but you're going to do what God wants us to do. We're not going to go out there trying to be everybody else. We're just going to do what he wants us to do. The only thing he's told us to do so far is have a school. When he gives us the next orders, we'll do that. And the ones after that, and the ones after that. He'll give us something to occupy meanwhile. He's going to save the world. He's going to save humanity. And what he wants, what's so important for him, is for you to do what he would like you to do. That's what every husband desires of his wife. Oh, how wonderful. What a calling. A dwelling place for the Spirit of the Lord. A home. A place where he can come, where he is loved, where he is adored, where he is worshipped. He has all kinds of other people to do all kinds of other things for him. Don't try to be them. Be what God wants you to be. And if not, perhaps you are in the wrong place. Perhaps as you begin to discover just what it is God has called us to, you say, well, I don't identify with that. It doesn't call to me. It doesn't do anything for me. Don't follow man. Follow him. If you've heard that voice, say, follow me. Follow me. Lord, why these beatings? Follow me. Lord, why do I have to go on the cross with you? Follow me. Lord, why do I have to be in prison? Follow me. Lord, why is your standard so demanding for us when I find that others are so comfortable where they are and you don't bug them either? You're happy with them where they are. They're fulfilling their purpose. They're where they're at. They need to be. Lord, wouldn't it be nice just to go down there and be one of them? No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. It's wonderful to be a child. Is it? I can remember my little kids screaming before they could talk. They couldn't communicate. No, we don't want to be children. Your little stomach growls and hurts of pain, and all you want is something to eat, but how to communicate this when you can't talk? How to communicate you're sick? How to communicate you hurt? No, I don't want to be a child. At this stage of life, at least I can communicate. I know how to fight. I know how to reason. I'm in a higher state now of my own development, of me. I'm in a higher state. I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back where they are. I want God to continue to develop me. I want the Lord to continue to develop me in what He has for me. Even when I get to heaven, find out that all this I went through is the lowest realm of heaven. I don't care. I don't doing it for what realm it is. I do it because that's my calling. That's what the Lord called me to. And in any place in the world He's going to put me, little by little, line upon line, concept upon concept, everything is going to aim in that direction until He calls me to lead you into that which I have been led to. Apprehend that for which I have been apprehended. Bring you into that which I have brought into and am yet coming into. That relationship, that walk, until I can teach you by the grace of God how to walk on your own and how to meet God on your own. How to fight and wrestle through all these things that are going to stand in your way until you can meet Him. You can speak with Him. You can stand before Him. Your words are acceptable in His sight. Not just words. Oh, let us press on. Don't give up in the fight. The standards are high. I don't want to discourage you, but they're going to get higher yet. The standard's going to get hotter. You say, well, look around. You say, well, Lord, why do others get away with this? Don't look at others. Their calling doesn't demand it. Years ago, the Lord spoke that to me. I see these gifted people. I said, Lord, you know, they get away with murder. The Lord said, don't look at them. I said, well, Lord, why do they get away with murder? So because each calling has its demands, and you can't do it. And I know there's a lot of things I can't get away with. There's a lot of things I cannot do. And one of the biggest things God had to deal with me is not to make others live at the level God made me live. It's only when God calls people into that that I can expect it and teach you and bring you into it. And if you think this is high, it's nowhere near compared to the things that Christ had to go through in this earth. Nothing. Nothing ever compares to what He had. The highest calling will ever come into will never compare to the perfection that He has come into. No, it's not high. It's glorious. But it's not ego high. It's just wonderful. You know, maybe you look at this gem and don't give it any price at all, but to me, this is the pearl of great price. That relationship, that walk with God. The ministering unto the Lord. I prize that. To me, that is the prize at the end of a high calling. To win Christ is what I continue going toward. Oh, the purgings. Oh, the purgings. Oh, the separatings. Oh, the demands. But I didn't call myself to this. You haven't either. But you must walk the road. You must follow Him. You must continue on. You can't give up. It's worth it. When you stand before the one who you love, when the barrier will be wiped away, when mortality will be swallowed into immortality, when we stand there before the one that was the prize of our high calling, it was worth it all. The glory, the radiance, the power, the light. To be swallowed up in Him, to be known of Him. Oh, praise God.